Welcome back to part two of the Handsome Hour. We pick up right in the middle of a conversation.
Well, you know, the thing that kills me is that what it seems like the play calling is to me offensively is, you know, jet sweeps, draws, you know, fast misdirections, but usually the ball ends up in about the same place all the time. It ends up kind of going up the gut, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't matter about all the, you know, shaking your right hand and then hitting someone with the left. It's still going up the middle.
Right.
Right? You're still kind of going up the gut. And that's what, you know, many, you know, the moron play-by-play or color guys have said, you know, all year, put these guys in space, which I agree with that statement. I just hate agreeing with those people, you know, because I think they sound stupid. But I agree. Put these little scat backs in space because Purdue's got these little guys with speed, you know, and or they used to. Remember, at the beginning of the season, you had Mostert, Knauf, Anthrop, and Hunt. That's four fast guys, like legitimate speed. Any place would say those guys are fast. Well, now you're down to Mostert and Hunt. And how about this? Why didn't we see those guys on the field together all the time? Why didn't they plug and play Mostert into the slot, right? If he can't be a running back, we've seen the guy do things with the ball in his hand, even when Hope was there. I mean, gosh, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. And I think it comes down to saying, well, this is the way we do things. It's, you know, the one, you know, there are different philosophies in football. And someone keeps talking about Bruce Arians, who I think is a damn, you know, and I've said this before, the word genius is overused in sports. Bruce Arians is a football genius, though.
Yeah.
But what his philosophy, they say, if you encapsulate one thing, it's the next man up philosophy, meaning he always has the next guy ready to play his position.
Yes.
Purdue is almost the antithesis of that. If someone gets hurt, oh shit, we're dead, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter which position because the next guy's not going to be there, right? He's not going to be on the same level. I mean, the only exception to that was the linebacker, Bobby E. or whatever his name is. He had a good game on defense, but it's a tough name. It's a tough name. I can barely pronounce Boiler Dowd, though, so... And I came up with that, by the way. I invented that name. I took two different words and I combined them. That's how I did that. Don't tell people because they haven't figured it out. I mean, if people are still hanging on, listen to us, I appreciate the people that are doing that because they're passionate like we are, obviously. Think about this. Years ago, when Tiller was starting to lose his grip on the program, there was a guy from Arizona that used to call us. Remember him?
Yes. Yes, I do. I was just thinking
about him. Big fan. He loved Purdue sports. He hasn't called us in years, and I don't think we really did anything to do that. I think he probably just said, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm wasting my time. But how many cases are there out there like him, you know, that just guys said, I can't do this anymore. You know,
it also could be because we don't do a call-in show anymore. But
it could be, but he didn't. That's a good point. That's a good point. I've been waiting for calls all night. I thought we were stalling.
I thought we were just stretching this out until we got a caller or two on the line.
No,
hello.
But he didn't. He didn't call. We had call-in shows though until as recently as what 2 years ago.
Oh yeah. Probably more recent than that. Yeah, right.
And maybe a year ago. And he bailed. He bailed on participating 7-9 years ago, I think. And so no, that's wrong. It can't be right. That's Fifteen years ago.
I don't know. It was a long time. We've been on the air since the '40s.
Exactly. And the old timey boiled sports radio network. So no, but it well, let's say it's 4 or 5 anyway that he stopped listening or calling. So I can't remember his first name right now, which is too bad.
He used to dial in, and he was an older, not older guy. That's not a nice thing to say.
He was like class of 80. Class of 80. That's,
yeah,
I mean, that's older.
Was. So. Yeah, he was a good guy too. Always had very passionate, and I think he was one of the guys that kept us doing what we do because you were like, man, there are guys out there sitting there waiting for our weekly radio show to be on about Purdue because they're getting it from nowhere else. And that, you know, that goes back. This is, you know, not that we're not the kings of non sequiturs, but that brings me back to. You know, the you're talking about canceling all cable, just not just because the cable's awful, but because of Purdue and the horrible alternatives and options you have. But it makes me think, like, once again, you know, there's things like what we're doing right now, using technology to record, and we're in two different locations. We're not in the same studio. I know you'll all be shocked to learn that. But that and there's just so many mediums to express yourself on the internet, and yet there's no way for us to host even a private, you know, simulcast. And I realize that would be, I realize there's lots of laws and rules and copyright BS and all that, but like, it'd be so much better. You know, we've watched games where we just mute it. Although I will say one of my favorite, like, Boiler Dowd old man screw-ups of the year was when you were watching a Purdue game on mute and thought Purdue had declined a penalty that they did not and put it on Twitter. That was the most, I'm like, what is he talking about? And then everyone starts correcting you, and you're like, shut up, everyone. I had the sound off. And we're like, oh, of course you did. Of course.
Well, that's when I got called dumb by somebody. And you and I, that's what somebody always asked me, who was that on Twitter that day? And I said, well, I explained myself, and I made an error, but I explained what the error was. It really was not that far off. And so the guy called me dumb again, and I blocked him. That was it. And we've been following that guy for a long time. I just don't have any time for that. That's pretty personal. If that guy was sitting in the room, and he would not just call me dumb. And that's the type of thing I have no time for. And I hope he's listening somehow, so he can know he's a jackass. So I don't engage with people like that. You always say I'm going to give them rope and they're going to hang themselves, and I say I don't have any time for this tool bag. So that's why, you know, people have said it before. Our Twitter feed seems like it's bipolar, because it is. It's two very different personalities at times. Running things is exactly how they feel, and many times Jay's not on, and many times Boiler Dowd's not on, and so.
Well, the funniest thing was they don't need to call you. You'll call yourself dumb.
Oh yeah,
multiple times a day. You've got no problem with that. You own that. That's what I think is great. It's that you're not allowed to just. You don't need. It doesn't need to be as an insult. I mean,
no, you can be funny about it. He wasn't being funny about it. He or she. It was probably like a teenage girl. That's the thing. She's probably like 12-year-old girl, middle school. She didn't deserve that. Yeah, probably. That's the other problem that I, you know, one of my friends, he's like, were you on Twitter today? Were you in that argument? I said, no. I said, you know the answer to that before you know the answer. It's not me generally. I said, Jay loves it. I think he really likes it. He said, why does he do it? I said, because I think he likes seeing stupid people do stupid things. And it just kind of gives him the floor, and they go and they do what they do. And he sits back, and then he pokes them a little, and they do it some more.
You've let's stop here. Let's not pretend you're above that, because you have enjoyed that when I've done it. There are times when you've enjoyed
it,
toying with people.
But there's a time where I generally my cutoff line is way shorter than yours. There's a couple people on Twitter, and I see their whatever icon or whatever, you know, and I don't even know the person's name. And I'm just like, I don't even want to read what this person's going to say. There are a couple IU fans on there. I'm like, why does this guy still comment on us? Is this person lonely? What's their deal? You know, there are two in particular. One has a picture of a cat in this picture. Yes. He's not being funny. Yes. The other one's the guy with the curly hair. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes, of course I know what you're talking about.
Holy moly.
They swoop in every now and then, and they do it in that, like you said, in a way that they never would to your face. They swoop in when they know you're upset about something, or they hope you're upset about something, and they swoop in and they make a derogatory or dirty comment. Yeah.
Just shut up.
Yeah, I find that stuff like so ridiculously pathetic. Like, if that's what you're cruising around. Now, I know we're guilty sometimes of enjoying
trolling, right?
Not even trolling. Just what happened to IU at home against Eastern Washington. That was enjoyable. We enjoyed it. But
I was watching it. I was watching it with an IU fan, which made my freaking night. That's why you texted me and said, you're ready to go. And I said, not yet. And he said, let's watch this IU game. I said, I don't want to cheer against IU with you here. That's not very polite. You're in my house. You know, I don't want to be inhospitable. Right. And so it starts getting to the point where the tide was turning against IU. And I said, see, now this is enjoyable. You were right. We should tune in. I was just saying little stuff like that. And he was like, oh, I can't believe it. I said, they're very dumb. I said, here's the deal. In a close game, Tom Crean will poop the bed almost every time. I said, so he's going to call a timeout here, and nothing good is going to come out of this timeout for IU. And almost right away, they ran out of bounds with the ball. That was the one where you were like, what just happened? Remember, they rebounded and dribbled it right out of bounds. I was like, it was right off a timeout. I was like, wow, that was great. That was so much fun. And the thing, my favorite way to watch IU basketball lose or Notre Dame football is when they think they've come back and they're going to win, yeah, and then their hearts are just ripped out and left in front of them. And wow, you saw that there was a moment when their crowd erupted like they had just, yes, hit another big shot versus Kentucky.
It was when they took, yeah, the lead.
What was it, minute left or something?
A little more than that, and it was gosh, what did they get up? They had an alley-oop to go up two, and then they – and an and-one, and he got fouled. And it made it, mm-hmm, like 83-80, I think.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was like a minute 20 maybe, and they thought – and they were – I thought the same thing. They're on their feet, and they are pumped. Like, and, I mean, that's, it's what, good to support your team, but, man.
Yeah, the guy who was watching the game with me here, he said, you would think they're playing the fifth best team in the nation right now. I said, I got to tell you, I kind of – one of my hobbies is – I generally know what teams' mascots are, you know, even if it's obscure or Division II. Right. I have no idea what Eastern Washington is. I mean, I don't know. You know why? Because have they been to the NCAA tournament in the last decade? Do you know?
I don't know. In the last decade? Phew, I don't know.
Because, you know, like you think of teams like your one of your alma maters, Farley Dickinson, right? Yes. That's a team that goes to the NCAA tournament, you know.
Every once in a while, yeah.
Ryder, you know, places like, yeah, that. You're like, you know, they make noise. I've never heard this team make noise. I don't know them. I don't know them at all. And I was watching those big goofy – there's a big goofy redheaded guy with a beard who never plays for Eastern Washington. Right. I said, can you imagine? This kid's life has just been made. It's not because – IU, you know, not because they, you know, they beat IU. They beat a symbol. They beat a team that's a, you know, a blue blood. They beat them in their house. They beat a Big Ten team. They did it on national TV. I know it's crappy national TV, but it was national TV nonetheless. That guy's a hero. He's going to go back home. He's going to be able to pick any big redheaded girl from his small town that he wants. I butchered that because that was going to be funnier. In my mind, I was going to say any big, red-headed, bearded girl.
Don't go there. It's just because it's Eastern Washington. Oh, yeah.
That's okay. Exactly why I did. That's exactly why I was going there.
Oh, man. We're off topic, though. I don't know how we got on to – we do – no matter what, the IU basketball
– it's salve to the wound, isn't it?
Well, you know, what I was going to say, though, is that – while we were enjoying that, you and I, yes, aren't going to go seek out an IU blog on Twitter and, no, make a remark. Like, we would never do that. And I mean, so I do think maybe I'm just splitting hairs, but I think there's a line between those jackholes who interact with us only to pick at us, and us who, like, on our feed, yes, we'll put up something we think is funny mocking Crean, but that, but we don't point it at, you know, Crimson Quarry or one of those. We don't do that because you know, even if that guy is a jackass, and I think he is,
yeah,
but despite that, I don't think it's sporting to gloat in his face. I can gloat on my own feed. I just think there's a difference there. I think, yeah, there's a difference, yeah, to, you know, have some fun. Because you know what? If we're not directing it at him, if he doesn't follow us, he doesn't see it. And he, right, doesn't, you know, and I think that's fair play. I think if you want to wade in here and see what we're saying and let it make you mad, then that's your fault. I mean, it's true of anything, like when you're on Twitter. Yeah, so I think, you know, should we say a few things about, I mean, we've got the football season winding down here. I don't know where the program is, honestly, at this point. I mean, we know, I think it's on the precipice of the darkest place, as you said, it's been in many, many years. Because if you've got that lack of fan support, I think we're back to a point now where the beginning of the season it was close to that, but there was a little bit of hope, right? And then they validated that with a couple wins early that made everyone think, hey, this is going to be a more fun season. Mm-hmm. And now I think we've tumbled all the way back down to the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. And I think,
yeah,
it'll be interesting next year because you know where they start next season? Do you know where they start next season?
It's the schedule's rugged next year.
They start at 10-0 Marshall.
Gosh.
That's right now, this team will get destroyed by Marshall.
Oh. Yeah, my son, who's many of you don't know who he is, he's LBD. I love this kid. I'm really biased, but he gets on his tablet every morning and he gives me the rundown of what happened in sports, the big stories that happened and where the rankings are and things that surprise him or are noteworthy. And he's not nine yet. Jay spent time with him. He's smart. He's a smart kid, mm-hmm. but he's like, look at these rankings. He goes, there's no way Marshall's going to get in the Final Four. They're going to be undefeated. I mean, that's a pretty good observation for an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And so he's taken note of Marshall. I don't think he's looked ahead next year to Purdue's schedule, but he'll get sad when he sees that, I can tell you that much. That's a rough place to play.
I just looked. They're actually 11-0, 7-0 in Conference USA. And granted, it's Conference USA, but they are scoring.
That's why they're not getting any respect.
But they are scoring a ton of points. A ton. Yeah. Their first first 7 games, they were over 40. Then they scored 35 in a win. Then they scored 63, 41, and 23. So now they're going for an undefeated season now. And Purdue starts. We'll spend just 2 seconds on this. Because it's really what's ahead for Purdue football. They start next season at Marshall. That's not screwing around, everybody.
No.
Then they're at home against Indiana State. Then they're at home against Virginia Tech. Then they're at home against Bowling Green, who's not.
I don't think
going to roll over. And then they get right into at Michigan State.
I can tell you this much: Bowling Green is not Western Michigan.
No. No, and Virginia Tech, for a whatever they are, 500 team, they beat Ohio State this year.
Oh, no, you don't want any part of Virginia Tech. Nobody wants Virginia Tech, especially early in the season. Beamer's brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah.
Marshall, Indiana State, Virginia Tech, Bowling Green, Michigan State, and then Minnesota, who I guess is for real. They just won at Nebraska. Holy hell.
It's tough not to say that they're for real. They lost their last game, though, didn't they? Didn't they win? Beat Nebraska and they lost their last game.
They did, I think. Yes, I think they lost to.
But still, they have 8 wins or something right now. So.
Oh, I think they have. I think they might have 9 now. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, how dare I even pretend to be critical of Kill? I mean, that's a.
Oh, I mean,
that's a Herculean feat. They're good. They're good programs.
I'm sorry, you're right. They're 8-3, 5-2 in the Big Ten. And they did lose. Oh, they lost 31-24 to Ohio State the week before. They lost by a touchdown. Ohio State. They Minnesota. I was thinking about this the other day. They're a perfect parable. Parable. Stop clicking. Why do you click so hard? You're like my mother. It's not a typewriter.
No, it's a. I've got the trackpad on the. When I'm doing this, I have the computer open, the laptop open, and. The Mac trackpad. I guess I could just tap it, couldn't I?
You probably could. So, but I was going to say,
you keep derailing
my train of thought. Well, stop what you're doing. Is that Minnesota? That's a good parallel for Purdue, right? There's no reason Purdue can't be Minnesota. And if the point is, if you think Minnesota's small time, they're 5-2. They have a shot at. I think they have a shot at their division. Yeah, they do. They're 1 game back of Wisconsin, so they're probably not going to win the division, but it's possible. They're ranked. They just won at Nebraska. They lost by a touchdown to Ohio State. They beat the Iowa 51-14.
Right. People always give us a reason why Purdue can't compare themselves to Iowa or Wisconsin for some reason. But you keep going down another rung. That's a program that they got the right coach in the right place and. It was pretty obvious pretty quickly that he was a pretty good coach. Yeah. You know, that's the thing I'm starting to get disheartened about. And there, you know, people always try to create sports parallels, myself included, about, you know, Hayden Fry or whomever, you know. And boy, it's going to get harder and harder to see, well, this will be the point where he becomes Kirk Ferentz or whatever, you know.
Right.
So
the only other Purdue football thing I wanted to get your take on is this weekend. I know we'll do our write-up as always, but what I said to you, and I know you were already thinking of it, if this Purdue team plays like they played, and I don't see any reason to think they're going to play better, they're going to get killed by a terrible IU team that a few weeks ago...
Terrible.
A few weeks ago, you and I were almost putting that in Sharpie as a win. I remember talking about it and saying, well, that's a win because they're gone. Their offense is gone. This is a team that just... Now, I know the score didn't... What did it end up against Ohio State? Like 42-27? But they were within a point. They were leading. They were up 14-15.
halfway through the third quarter. They were within.
So you know what I'll say about that? And here's a huge indictment of Purdue's football program. Whatever you want to say about Kevin Wilson, that team has not quit. They have not mailed it in. They know they have very little chance in each game, and yet they're in that. They were beating Rutgers in the third quarter. They were beating Ohio State in the third quarter. They don't have the horses to do it for four quarters because they have a freaking soap opera star at
right, Diamant. And that's the thing. Another thing you got to appreciate about Wilson. I know he's not. He's a. Well, just for the record, I like Daryl Hazel's personality a lot more than Kevin Wilson's. Okay.
Yes.
I like Hazel. I like him. He seems like a great man personally. There are a lot of things I like about him. But the thing about Kevin Wilson's ridiculously ingenuitive, right? He was that's a pass-happy offense last year, right? Sudfeld slung the ball around. Roberson would run the option. But really, it was a pass offense. They said coming in this season, they're going to pass a lot. Well, now all they do is run. That's the way they find success. So they've had to change their blocking schemes. That's a hard thing to do. It's a really hard thing to do to have a team that is used to, you know, a quick pass protection to go into zone run block and do it well. They're creating big holes. He's good too. That running back, he'll be gone after this year, by the way. But
Coleman, yeah.
Yeah. Tevin Coleman, right? Coleman.
Yep. Tevin, yeah.
So he's very good, and man, that's the weird thing. That's the second kind of out of nowhere running back they've had in the last decade. The last one was the guy, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, which I was just shocked how good he was. And then he goes on, and he's had a nice long NFL career, and I don't see any reason to believe this guy's not going to either. But before he goes to the NFL, he's gonna probably run for about 700 yards against Purdue next week.
Bon
Voyage.
And well, we'll see if they come out on their senior day and are, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, do you right now have any confidence that Purdue can win that game? I mean, they can win it, right?
They can win it. The weird thing is weeks ago when Purdue had some signs to believe, you know, I picked Purdue to lose to Northwestern right then. And I said, man, I'm very smart. That's all I could come up with, how smart I am. I'm just really, really brilliant, brilliant guy.
I don't think you picked Purdue to lose in Northwestern.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did.
Basketball? Northwestern? What are we talking about here?
On the last Handsome Hour you and I recorded, you can go check it. Go check the tape.
I did.
I picked Purdue to lose to Northwestern, and you're like, oh, come on. You were just floored by it because I thought that was when I said.
Good, but then we could go back to more recently, like last Friday. And we could take a look at what I said. And
what my predicto was, I know. But the thing is, that week.
But who cares about that?
No. That's why I'm being sarcastic when I'm calling myself smart. That was the same week I picked them to beat Nebraska.
That's right.
So, obviously, I'm right a lot. No, the.
Now you've been right more than me, that's for sure. And that's one of the things.
Well, the thing that's wild is if they end up with four wins, regardless of how they got there,
yeah, it's what you and I said.
Exactly what I thought. You know, I didn't think it'd be this way. You know, I didn't think it'd be this painful to get four wins. But. So, yes, it's possible they can beat IU. I really think it's possible. I don't think IU's good. But I think more than. The thing that. Whenever you have a team that's that one dimensional, it seems to me like it's much easier to beat that team because if they, for some reason, have an off day or if they have a guard who rolls his ankle and he can't play and for some reason that's the guy that used to run over the top, changes everything, you know,
right.
Because they're not going to beat Purdue with the pass. They will not beat Purdue with pass. Even this Purdue defense, Diamant will make big mistakes. So he may have a flash in the pan success. If he's trying to throw consistently, he'll make a mistake and it'll lose the game for IU. So I just – are they capable of beating them? Sure. But does it look likely? No. I just hate the fact that we're even talking about it looks like IU is going to beat Purdue handily. That's what it feels like, you know. I just don't even like that.
I know. 2 years in a row, and I mean, I'll certainly do the research when I'm doing the predictor, but I don't know the last time they won two in a row against Purdue. I mean, I guess maybe I could have that. Maybe it was just recently. Maybe did they win Hope's last game? No, Hope won. Hope won.
Hope won.
Carried
Hope
off
won.
On his shoulders. Right.
That's right.
So
champions.
Yeah. I don't know. They lost that one with Hope when it went to overtime.
Yeah.
That was a few years ago. Well, I'll check into it. They don't lose.
It was the most boring overtime game in the history of college.
Oh, that was these games have been terrible. By and large, these games have been terrible. I was going to say for 20 years because that's about how long I've been watching.
No, there was one really good game that Purdue lost.
That one where they got their sixth win.
Yeah, well, no, that was a good game. That was a good game. So there have been two good games, I'd say, in the last 20 years. One was that where IU got they had the field goal and they used it as their marketing for the next 2 years. Two years, not 1 year. And the other one was, of course, when Anton Randall-L won got his only win versus Purdue, and it was that muddy game where Montrell Lowe couldn't get in the end zone from the one.
But that was like, wasn't that like a 13-7 game?
But it was a really good game. I mean, it was sloppy, but it was, I guess maybe it wasn't a good game for anybody outside of Purdue or IU to watch. It was actually really painful. I was there. It was freezing cold. It was rainy. Yeah,
cold and rainy.
So you're predicting a win against IU, obviously.
I don't think that's actually the case. You know, I'm at a loss. I'm really at a loss for what to even say. I mean, I won't spend a ton of time watching. I'll tell you that. I mean, if I have something else to do, I'll do it. If I'm near a TV, I'll put it on. But I'm that way. And you know what depresses me about that is that in the past, even when Purdue's been bad, the bucket game, bucket week, it's still there's still something I love about, you know. It's not like any other week. It really isn't. You see them coming, and you're like, man, I freaking hate them. I hate everything about them. And I still feel that way, which is why, honestly, it would make me not want to watch, because I don't want to watch Purdue crap the bed again. Like, if they play like they did this past Saturday, that's the kind of game that makes you throw your remote through the TV screen.
Right, right.
It really is, because they're just not – again, earlier this year, but this is proof of how understanding Purdue fans can be. Look at the Michigan State game. Look at even Minnesota. People were pissed they blew it, but they still said, well, yeah, but look at how, I mean, they showed they're there. They're right there. And everybody kind of was okay with it. And they've all accepted Minnesota's pretty decent this year. Yeah. So everyone, Purdue fans are tolerant. They have to be, right? And yet, you see what happened this past Saturday, and if that same sort of thing happens against a bad Indiana team, then that's what infuriates people. And then to be told, as you said, that, you know, oh, need better fan support. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Let's not forget
the team effort that Pete Quinn is really discounting there is that Morgan Burke raised ticket prices after last season. We can't forget that.
Right.
How egregious is that?
Well,
how stupid! How stupid is that? So
I don't think he thought it was stupid.
Obviously not. Nancy Cross was there having a meeting. Shot and Cross and Burke just high-fiving each other. In the background, Cardinal and Clopton are just shaking their head. No, not a good idea, guys. Probably not. I know we're never going to have jobs that amount to anything, but you know we do have 2 cents about us. So that's. Gosh, those are the guys who should be running that mother, and they're not going to, sadly. Put Clopton and Cardinal at AD and associate AD and let them run it in a naive, gung-ho, have-fun sort of way and see what happens. But, you know, that's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Are you kidding me? No way.
It's not going to happen. So, yeah, you guys just heard my vote, and I know that matters to the trustees. So when Morgan Burke resigns in 2040 – and an old man, Chris Clopton, and Brian Cardinal will be candidates.
Well, I think we've depressed ourselves enough, and this is a good thing. What?
One of my friends said, he said, "What size tent do you think Painter's wearing today?"
And he was too.
Those are not flattering shirts. The blousy hanging down shirt.
The blousy.
They're just not.
Well, at one point when they went to explain the Haas flagrant, and then, you know, they pulled the coaches together, Weber comes over, and he's all kind of like fit and trim, and he's got his golf shirt tucked in.
Yeah, he looked sharp.
You know, and then you got Painter like slumping over in his oversized smock. And it's just, you know,
Matty, Matt.
A few more laps. A little time on the treadmill, Matt.
That's another pal of mine. He said, you know, that, you know, Painter, you've seen him when he's in decent shape. We actually have seen him in decent shape as a Purdue coach. And even when he's in decent shape, though, he doesn't have he's not a guy that looks
kind of like me. He doesn't really have a svelte looking.
Well, he doesn't have his chin to neck transition is tough, you know. And some people don't have that gift, you know, a nice solid chin. Bruce Weber has a nice chin, nice solid chin.
Handsome man. Just go ahead and say it. He's a handsome man.
Handsome man. He yelled me off Mackey Arena one time. Not macaroni. Yelled me off macaroni.
Hey, fatty, stop eating macaroni.
That's delicious, coach. Get off my back.
Actually, you could probably do a Weber, too. Weber is he's kind of got a scratchy,
I can do a mean Weber, yeah. Okay. What are you guys doing down here? What are you doing down here? That's what he said. And he was trailed by 30 little 7-year-old girls in towels. They were coming from the pool.
Where's the story going?
Oh, this is true. They're all coming down on Macarena. He was just using his privilege, just walking the girls through there after that pool party. It was his daughter's birthday. Yeah. And so anyways, it was spring break, and I was an RA, and I was playing one-on-one with my friend Dave, and we broke into Mackey as well. No one was on campus except for me and some Asian students and three other counselors, it seemed like, and Bruce Weber and his daughters and their birthday party. So we were in Mackey. We learned how to turn on the lights in the whole place, and we played there 4 nights in a row, played one-on-one in Mackey. It was awesome.
Well, Mackey's never been exactly secured, at least when we were there. It was never like tighter than a drum. In fact, I've been back to campus and just walked in.
Right.
Walked in. You know, I've sat there, watched practice. I've done. Mm-hmm. I've disrobed and run around the court naked. I mean,
you're usually eating something with barbecue sauce. And you're just wiping your hands all over the bleachers and the bars, right? I'm gonna watch some basketball. I'm gonna eat some ribs while I do this. That's what make a day of it. He doesn't eat ribs in the Mackey Arena. If you find rib bones, it's not from J Money. It's not from J Money. No, that's not the case.
But if you happen to find my Hanes boxer briefs, I can give you my address.
That's because he did run around a little bit. It was warm. Once again,
that part was true.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know, Ryan. Why don't they put air conditioning in Mackey Arena?
That's a good question.
You got all the answers.
Because the trustees took that portion of the money for themselves. So that's why. See, it all comes. I just put a little bow on it right there. And you've been listening to the Handsome Hour.
BS.
All the time.
All the time.
That's a wrap.
Put that one in the can. Print it.